Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Anna and the Angels. I'm your host, Anna Grace Taylor, and I'm so delighted to be back with you today. I actually was supposed to do a show with you last week, but if you'd have heard me, you'd know why I didn't do a show, because I really had very little voice and I've been dealing with, you know, a cold and some sinus stuff. Fortunately, I feel a lot better now, and it's one of my favorite things to do, honestly, this radio show. I had a break in the summer, as you know, and I needed that because I was I went to California and I was doing various things with family, but it's not something that I can imagine myself giving up, because I love sharing with you. I love talking to you and having the opportunity to share inspiring guests with you and to talk about the things that are going to help us all to live a more fulfilling, happy, just a really connected life. And my guest today is no different. She's actually someone who's come into my life fairly recently but has really had a huge impact on me already, and I know that you're going to find her really inspiring too. So we'll welcome Emily in a moment, but I just wanted to let you know, because I tend to forget these days when I have these shorter shows, to just let you know that if people do want to contact me personally, you can do so on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ Anna Taylor Music Angel, or you could type in Anna Grace Taylor and you'll find my picture there, and lots of different posts that I share, including a weekly angel reading video and lots of inspiration. I'll also be teaching my certification class if you want to learn how to communicate with the angels to help other people and to learn different healing techniques and various things. It's a two-day class. If you're in England, I would love to see you there. And if you're not in England, perhaps you want to travel there. So there's details on my Facebook page and my website. And, of course, I'll answer any questions that you have if you would like to do that. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to my dear friend, Emily Fillmore. Emily A. Fillmore, actually. She's a beautiful mother, author, speaker, artist. She's a former licensed attorney. She's a wife, and she is a beautiful person, as I said, who I just recently met. She is in America, but we've been chatting for a while, and she's just recently released a book that she co-authored with her friend Laurie Lankins Farley and Neil Donald Walsh as part of his Conversations with God series, and this one is for parents, so that's very exciting. So I know one of her passions is conscious parenting, and we're going to be speaking about that in a moment, because actually she's the first guest that I have ever had on the show, I think, that we specifically talked about parenting. And she has a really amazing story that she'll share with you in a moment, which means that she's also written a book called The Marvelous Transformation, Living Well with Autoimmune Disease, where she really shares with her readers how having a chronic illness doesn't have to lead to chronic unhappiness. And I absolutely know that after speaking to her just a few times. So without further ado, let me introduce you to dear Emily. Are you there?
I am, Anna. Thank you for having me, and such a warm introduction.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's my pleasure to have you on, and I know that we could probably talk for a lot longer than half an hour, but we're just going to continue and see where the conversation takes us. And there's probably lots of different things that we could begin with, but obviously I can only just skim a little bit over your story in an introduction. So perhaps you can just share with the listeners, like, why have you found yourself on this particular path? Have you always had a knowing about spirituality? Have you always been interested in all the things that you're interested in now, or did you have a kind of defining moment where everything changed for you?
Well, you know, I think throughout my life I had a number of defining moments. In terms of spirituality, I was always a questioning child, so I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church, and I was kind of always very moved by the customs and the traditions of the church, but I always also asked a lot of questions that weren't necessarily always really well received. And when I went away to college, My best friend, one of my best friends to this day, actually, she had quite a different view of the world than I did, and she introduced me to kind of how to even question more the societal principles that everybody's kind of handheld and fed as they go through life. And so she kind of helped me to see that there was more to the world than the sheltered view that I had. And my parents didn't really necessarily say, you must believe this. They always told us we could believe whatever we wanted. But living in Missouri, which is the Midwest of the United States, it's, you know, it's a pretty conservative area. So the ideas I had were fairly sheltered anyway. So it was really interesting to view the world in a little bit more diverse and wide scope through Jamie's eyes.
Absolutely. And around that time, you also were diagnosed with your autoimmune disease, right? So that also would have a big impact on the way you saw the world, I'm sure.
Well, that's when I started getting sick, but I actually wasn't diagnosed until 7 years later. So I went through seven years of being ill and not knowing what was wrong and being scared to death, not knowing, you know, was I going to be okay and all of that kind of stuff. So, but yes, I did start getting ill around the age of 19. I had a bout of mono, but at first they thought it was strep throat, so they treated me with a heavy dose of antibiotics, and it caused this allergic reaction that I had a red raised rash all over my body, and they think that that interaction between the antibiotics and mono, because it wasn't strep, actually kind of tripped a switch in my immune system that then was getting the wrong signals, and now I've had this autoimmune disease for 20 years. So, yeah, lots of things happen that, you know, kind of change your view of the world and kind of change your perspective. And then I would say the next defining moment was when I was 24 years old and I was going through a divorce, and a friend handed me Conversations with God and said, you know, instead of feeling like a victim that that marriage didn't turn out the way that you hoped it would, why don't you read this and maybe you can find some strength and you know, view things a little bit differently. And I would say that that's probably another, you know, huge defining moment, that having that book in my hand, and that's 15 or 16 years ago now, and reading it and finding that a lot of the things I had thought throughout my life but didn't really comport with the religious view that I had been raised with, I thought, wow,
absolutely,
I wasn't crazy.
Absolutely.
Some of these things can be applied. So,
wow, and I'm like, what an amazing full circle moment for you now to be in the position to be co-writing a book with Neil, and, you know, really.
I know, isn't that crazy?
You know, like, that was one of those things that I bet, you know, like, in those times, in 20 years ago, you'd never have said that, right? So
no, I never would have imagined that. I still pinch myself every once in a while. I mean, this is actually the second interview I'm doing today, and I was on the phone with a friend for a minute, and I said, I can't believe my life. I'm doing two interviews about parenting and writing today. Who am I?
It's so awesome, isn't it? You know, we were talking about that, you know, that we get to, you know, obviously we've both been through our challenges, and it's very, you know, we don't want to sort of make them small or deny them in any way, but also because of the journey that we've been on, we get to do some pretty cool stuff, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I had a realization yesterday, again, listening to a podcast that I had done back in December that just got released. I was, wow, I'm meeting people from all over the world that I would never have met if it weren't for my writing and in some respects my disease, because my disease changed the course of my life. I would, you know, probably be a practicing attorney if I was well enough to be out in the world working. And so instead I'm seeing more of the world through meeting people like you, you know, and I'm having a conversation with someone across the world right now. And
exactly.
That probably would
exactly.
not have been happening. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we can kind of, you know, I think that's the difference, you know, to being a victim and really, you know, living the life that you do and that I try to do my best to live, is that, yeah, we're all human. We're going to say that life is really tough sometimes, but also to say, wow, you know, there is so much more to me than that, and there's so much more to life than that. And that is the basis of your book. And actually, it really... it really struck me. I must admit, I haven't read the entire book yet. I've just read little bits that has stuck out to me that, you know, I looked at the front of your book and thought, oh, I'll read that. But one of the main things mm-hmm. that really stuck out to me was your introduction. It says you can heal your disease and it can heal you. Can you explain to our listeners what that really means to you? What did you mean by that?
Yeah, well, let me give you a little bit of background. So the premise of the book really is that we can create our own reality through positivity and looking for the gifts of life, and that you don't have to be defined by the tragedies that happen in your life. And so in saying that I can heal my disease and it can heal me, and you know, hopefully my readers can have that same experience, is not that I necessarily think I can cast my disease out of my body, which I've tried. Believe me, I've done everything under the sun to try to rid myself of the disease. But in having a positive outlook and in searching for what I call the gifts of divinity in my life that have resulted from having this disease, that the disease hasn't had the chance to define me. It hasn't become who I am. It's just something
right.
that I have. And
yes.
in doing so, I think it has healed parts of my emotional state. It has healed parts of my personality, and it's made me an overall better person, a more loving person, a more patient person, a kinder person. And it's really brought me to a place where I have a lot of gratitude for everything in my life. I love deeper. I enjoy things more thoroughly. I look for the positives in every situation. And not that I would not have been that way anyway, but I think it just makes everything that I experience in my life richer.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, we were talking about that too, because I know that it certainly affected your decisions and the way that you are a mother and the way that you choose to parent your daughter and your nephew. And that is, you know, that's a fundamental thing. And the way that you're doing that is not only life-changing for you and life-changing for your family, but it's also another great reason why you have got to share your passion through that and be able to write a book with Neil. So it all kind of comes full circle, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And what, just for your listeners to know what you're alluding to there of how it changed my parenting, you know, with an autoimmune disease, pregnancy is not assured. In fact, when I decided that I wanted to get pregnant, my mom and I went to a prenatal meeting with a high-risk pregnancy consultant, and we walked out of that meeting, and my mom said, begging, please don't get pregnant. You can adopt. You guys can, you know, have a surrogate. Just please don't get pregnant. It's too dangerous. You could die. The baby could die. It's not worth the risk. And I looked at her, and I said, I'm sorry that it's scary for you, but I'm going to do this. You know, and it's, we'll be very careful. The doctor will take care of me. I had, you know, great faith in the doctor that we had met. I had an acupuncturist, and we did everything as carefully as possible. But the truth is, it was a very dangerous pregnancy. We had complications. I almost lost my daughter at one point, and then I had some complications arising out of the medication I had to take in order to maintain the pregnancy. And she was born very healthy, and everything was successful, but I had subsequent miscarriages after her because mm-hmm. my immune system tries to attack the placenta, which then attacks, you know, makes it so the baby is not being nourished. And then, you know, after having a couple of miscarriages, then we were able to pinpoint that we had had multiple miscarriages even before Sage. So once
wow.
you realize how delicate it is and how difficult it is to bring a baby into the world, and I was 29, almost 30 when I had her, it makes it that much more poignant and that much more important and thoughtful and conscious of how you're going to parent. So we saw her as our little miracle, and it made everything that we did in terms of parenting her so much more thoughtful and important, and it made us look at every decision we made in parenting her. You know, we wanted to make sure we were doing it in a way that was most effective for her.
Oh, wow. And that's so powerful and so poignant, because the thing is that, you know, obviously millions and millions of people have, you know, children every day, and, you know, it's a beautiful part of life. But sometimes I think that, you know, many people can also take it for granted and see it's like, oh, well, I'm just going to have a baby now and it's all going to be fine. But actually, the truth is that there are many people who struggle like you to have children. And it isn't something to take for granted, that life is a gift. And that Sage, who did come to you, is a miracle because of that, and she totally is meant to be here. So I can completely understand why you would want to make a particular special effort and to really parent in the way that felt right to you, because she is such a gift in your life, and that you being a mom is something that is even more amazing than usual. Really beautiful.
It's just something we're really grateful for, because it didn't have to turn out that way, you know. And my mom, like I said, she was petrified all through my pregnancy, you know, please don't die on me. It's not worth having a grandchild if I'm going to lose you. And I just kind of keep saying, you're not going to lose me. We're just going to be as careful as possible, you know. But, I mean, I can understand. I'm her baby, so she didn't want to lose me. But, you know, so it wasn't something we took lightly. So parenting, as a result, is not something that we take lightly, and that has made all of our decisions from how do we discipline to what are the rules we have in our home to everything, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Not taking anything lightly.
So if somebody was listening, going, well, what do you mean by conscious parenting, and what are you talking about in your book, Conversations with God for Parents, and what does that mean? Because obviously, you know, many people are listening. They might be parents and, you know, feeling like they perhaps the way that their parenting isn't working for them, or they've always felt like there's other things that they wanted to, appreciate as being a parent or bring into their relationship with their child. What do you feel like is the fundamental thing for you if you were to say anything about being a conscious or spiritual parent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that in the way that we practice it in our home, we practice kind of a combination of attachment parenting, which is Dr. William Sears is who kind of created and coined that term, attachment parenting. So we practice a combination of attachment parenting, spiritual parenting, and conscious parenting. So they're kind of all really related, but excuse me. So in our home, I think the easiest way to say what that looks like is that we meet our children, and I'm including our nephew who's 23 and lives with us in that, but we meet them where they are in the moment. So our parenting looks different every single day. But the one rule that we have in our house, and we only have one rule, and it is a very great umbrella rule that handles every situation that we can encounter, is what would love do now? So we ask ourselves that in every interaction. So
beautiful.
Love is really the pervading force in our home. So we meet our children where they are. If my daughter is having a rough day, you know, and I have great plans that we're going to, I don't know, you know, build some kind of thing for school, we homeschool. So if I have some idea of what I have planned that we're going to do that day, and she wakes up and she's just in a rotten mood, I'm flexible and understand that my plans aren't always her plans, and I can't force it, because if I do force it, it's going to end up in a meltdown. We're not going to have a good day, and what's really the point of that? If it's not going to be beneficial to us, why force a situation? And so I meet her where she is, and it could mean that that's a day that we need to just watch documentaries for school, you know? So we'll pull up documentaries on ancient Egypt or Rome or whatever it is that we're studying in social studies that day, and we'll have a cuddle on the couch and drink hot chocolate day so that she gets her needs met of, obviously, she's having a rough day, she needs extra touch today, but we're still getting some school done. Or we'll have a reading day or whatever. So it's about meeting your child where they are.
Let school be different, you know, for her in the way that actually meets her needs and still allow her to learn in a way that feels less pressured for her. And, yeah.
Right. Yeah, beautiful. And it works like that for other things, too. You know, if I have a plan to go to the mall that day or, you know, I mean, there are some things that are unmovable, like a doctor's appointment. But if I have a doctor's appointment, I can always call my mom or someone else to, you know, watch her while I go to a doctor's appointment if she's having a rough day. But there are very few things in life that are unmovable that you can't use flexibility around. So whatever it is, we try to be flexible around meeting the child where they are that day. And then always asking in every interaction, in every word that we utter, in every thing that we do, what is the most loving way I can handle this? And that really rounds off all the edges of any kind of struggle or strife that we can have in a home. And I've been asked before, well, how do you get anything done? Well, it's really easy. If I need to go somewhere and she's not wanting to get dressed, if I ask her, well, mommy really needs to go to the doctor and you're not wanting to get dressed, but if you ask yourself, what would love to now when I'm asking you to get dressed so we can go to my doctor's appointment, what's the loving thing to do? Well, the answer is always cooperate. So
right,
it's not about getting compliance
right
out of fear. It's about compliance with cooperation.
Absolutely. And cooperation is such a key thing, isn't it? Love in action is cooperation, right? To really, as you say, meet each other in the middle and say, hey, let's work together in this, rather than feel like you're the authority or you're pushing for something or she's, the one who needs to rule the house or whatever, that you can both actually work together or, in fact, as a whole family, because you're aware of, actually, this would be really kind for my mom right now, or this would be really kind for her right now. And that's a beautiful, even if you don't know anything else about what you're talking about in your conscious parenting or your books, I mean, that's the essence of everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the way that we would all change if we did that for each other, let alone as parents, right?
Right, right. And, it's also about, and I'll quickly over to what Conversations with God exactly is in parenting, but it's also about being partners and being on the same team. And that's kind of been a theme in the last couple of weeks with my daughter. She's 9, almost turning 10. And I guess, as adolescence is burgeoning in her, she's starting to want to assert some independence and tell me when I'm wrong and all this kind of stuff. And I've really had this mantra with her lately to remind her, because I don't want her to think when she's 15 that I'm the enemy. So I'm trying to nip it in the bud right now where she's starting to say, well, why do you have to tell me that? Da, 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 da. We are a team. I am always on your side. There is no reason for you to ever struggle against me because I am always 100% on your side. And so partnership is really important, I think, and we talk about that in Conversations with God for Parents, that a parenting partnership with the child is really important, that you don't see each other as adversaries, but that you're a team. And so all of that goes together with the overriding theme of Conversations with God in general, but Conversations with God for Parents too, that we are all indivisible sparks of divinity, that we are all part of God, and I envision it as a swirling ball of energy out in the universe, in the cosmos, that is all that is, the energy of all that has ever been, all that ever will be, and that is God. So I don't see God as, the old man in the sky with the beard and everything, but I see God more as the energy. Right.
Yeah.
And so we are all sparks of that divinity. So we are each part of God. We're not subsets. We're not like inferior parts of God. We're equal parts, equally as important sparks
Absolutely.
Of God. And so one of the things that Conversations with God for Parents is trying to do is helping parents instill that understanding in children, so that they can not
because
only
then
love
they
themselves.
They can actually really see their own worth and their own place in the world and not have to search for approval or look for it outside of themselves or try and fight themselves as they are, and just really knowing that they're enough as they are because we are all equal in the first place, right?
Exactly, exactly. And love each other that same way so that they will treat others kindly and compassionately and with love. And that in their interactions with each other, we'll ask, what would love do? So it all comes full circle again.
It does, it does. And so do you have in the book Conversations with God for Parents, is there different topics? And, I haven't read it, so is there different topics that people can read about, or is it one continuous, concept? How is the book shaped? Because I know in your own book, The Marvelous Transformation, there's different chapters about things. There's something about body image. There's something about, gratitude and your own child and the way that you've handled your actual illness. And there's different things about, the way you've overcome your obstacles and you know, and how things don't define you. Is that the kind of similar context of the conversations with God for parents as well? Are you discussing different things within the book?
Yeah, we take different concepts. So it's a little bit different because since we were writing it with Neil, we kind of followed his cosmology a little bit. So Conversations with God, he has 29 books. And over the years,
wow,
he has extrapolated.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 29 books before this one. So we extrapolated 25 core concepts out of his work. He extrapolated 25 core concepts out of his work. And then we took and we said, these are the top 18 concepts that we think could be easily applied to child rearing and teaching to children. And so then we kind of made the language of those concepts more child-friendly. And so each chapter is one of those concepts. So there's 18 chapters. And then there's some supplementary material as well. But each concept is a chapter. So there's We Are All One, Love Is All There Is, There's Nothing You Have to Do, You Are or We Are Enough. That's not right. Sorry. My brain just went.
Yes,
there's no such thing as right and wrong. There is enough. Sorry. And so we took those, and then Neil wrote from a philosophical, spiritual perspective what he thinks that means in the parenting world. And then Lori and I took each of those concepts, and we wrote practical parenting and practical teaching strategies.
So you combine that with the practical, I was going to say, the practical, mm-hmm. you know, aspects of using those concepts in life, because that's the thing that we all mm-hmm. want, right? It's one thing to kind of go, oh, that's really great. You know, we all know that we're sparks of divinity, but sometimes in life we need those tools to go, okay, what am I going to do in this moment when things are challenging or...
Right.
You know, I'm having a life moment where I want to, you know, be more open to those changes or be more open to the fact that, you know, I am an equal with my child. Because, you know, I really totally understand what you're talking about. But also I know that in those moments when I'm having a challenging day, it's really good to have those exercises like, okay, this is where you sit down and you talk about this or you breathe or you.
Right.
Yeah. So it's beautiful and such a great combination to such a great combination to have that. And Laurie is also a beautiful person. I hope she can come on the show at some point, and she'll obviously have her own
unique. She'd love to, I'm sure.
Yeah, so we'll chat too. Half an hour is never enough, and of course, there's only a couple of minutes left of the show. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, if there's anything else that you feel like you wanted to say, or if there's anything that's going on for you that you wanted to share so that people can find out about it, then absolutely. I really highly recommend that people do that. So can you share a little bit how people can find you, Emily, and where that would be?
Yeah, I have a website. It's emilyfillmore.com, and I also have a public author page on Facebook, and if you just search Emily Fillmore author, you can find me easily there. I do kind of the same thing as what Anna was saying. I post inspirational quotes. I also post articles that I write, both about living a happy life with illness as well as parenting articles, and I really love to hear from people. You can purchase the book through both of the books actually, as well as my children's books through Amazon or booksellers, and you can also purchase them through my website. So I'd love to hear from people. My contact information is on the website. So
beautiful. Yeah, I was going to say, because there might be, you know, people going through a particular experience, and I know even from just reading some of your book right now, it's just absolutely packed with all kinds of, you know, beautiful tips and really useful tips. So actually, I would say, having read, you know, a chunk of your book so far, you don't even need to have an autoimmune disease. You could have a physical challenge, or you could even have any kind of challenge, because you can really apply a lot of what you're saying to all kinds of situations. Of course, you know, a lot of it is based on, you know, struggling in your body and how you deal with that. But it's just such an uplifting book that actually I think it's a book about wellness, not about autoimmune disease. And I really love that about you, Emily.
Thank you. Yeah, I've actually gotten some great feedback from people, even with depression, that it helped them to see their life in a different way. So
exactly. And I think sometimes we have to remember that, just like we were saying, that, you know, it may look slightly different, our suffering, but ultimately there are certain things and certain lessons that we can all share with each other when we're dealing with suffering of any kind. So thank you so much for being with me, Emily. I'm so sorry that we can't talk for longer. I probably could definitely
no,
talk to you
great.
At least another hour, but we'll just have to do it again. And I know that, you know, I really, really recommend The Marvelous Transformation, everyone, Living Well with Autoimmune Disease. I already feel like I'm learning so much.